happy with me. It's okay.
Good morning. This is the Senate Finance Committee.
Feel free.
I could ask everyone to turn their cell phones off. Today is Friday, April 10th, 2015. It's 9:04 a.m. If you're joining us off net, this is the Senate Finance Committee. We're meeting in the Capitol, Juneau, in room 532. With me this morning in Senate Finance, Senator Olson, welcome. Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, Senator Machicki, Co-Chairman Kelly, and myself, Senator McKinnon. Good morning. I want to publicly say again for all of those that hung with us last night to move the capital budget from committee, staff in the Department of Law, over at Legislative Finance, Legislative Legal, and our Senate Secretary team, as well as the reporters that were here. We appreciate you covering a departure of a very small capital budget and appreciate all of the support that we receive every day from the people here in Juneau. Senator Hoffman, welcome. On today's agenda, we're going to first take up Senate Bill 71, Vaccine Certification for Pharmacists. Next, HB 140, the Alaska Railroad Revenue Bonds, and then Senate Bill 70, the Gas Pipeline Right-of-Way Parks and Refuge. A brief history, Senate Bill 71 is an act relating to the practice of pharmacy and relating to the administration of vaccines and related to emergency medications. We had a public hearing on 4-2-2015. That public hearing was closed. Is there any, Senator Giesel? Ms. Conway, if you could approach the microphones, identify yourself for the record, and is there any closing comments the Senate Finance Committee should consider before we review the bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Kathy Giesel, Senate District N. I have no closing comments. I know that there are folks online to talk with you about the fiscal note, so I'll leave it to that.
Thank you very much. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Machicki, can you walk us through the fiscal notes?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. The first fiscal note is the one from the Department of Health and Social Services. The appropriation is health care services. The allocation is Medical Assistance Administration, and the OMB component number is 242. Fiscal note is zero for operating from FY16 through FY21. There is no estimated supplemental or estimated capital cost. And this fiscal note used to have an amount on it, but the Department of Health and Social Services has determined it can absorb any anticipated capital costs within its existing appropriation. So this is a zero fiscal note, Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki, if we could pause. As I understand it, we may have someone online for questions from the department. Is that Chad Hope or is it Jay Butler that could speak to the fiscal note? Mr. Butler, Mr. Hope.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Chad Hope, pharmacist with the Department of Health and Social Services, and I can be available for questions on the fiscal note.
Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you just walk us through the fiscal note in terms of how much and what it's for and why do we have to do it? Because we've been very focused on actually not having fiscal notes come through this committee because of our financial situation, our revenue situation. So if you can help us understand this fiscal note and why it may, what it does.
Brief at ease.
Yeah.
Brief at ease. back on the record.
Madam Chair, it's a long day yesterday. My understanding is, it is the fiscal note is now zero.
That's correct, but if we could have the administration respond to why and how the fiscal note became a zero fiscal note.
Senator Dunleavy, through the chair, this bill would require the department to enroll pharmacists as providers as required under the Affordable Care Act. And initially, we had scoped out the work to enhance our system at about $50,000. And I apologize for my voice. I have lost it recently. So please let me know if you cannot hear me. Our finance folks have worked very diligently to identify how we could make the changes to our system without incurring additional costs, and they've been able to identify CHIP bonus money that Children's Health Insurance Program bonus money that they can use to offset the additional costs of associated with enrolling a new provider type.
Senator Dunleavy, follow up.
Thank you.
Mr. Hope, if I might inquire a bit further, then do we anticipate that additional revenue for future years? Because the zero fiscal note shows, as Senator Machicki stated, from FY16 through 21, no additional costs to the state.
Madam Chair, I am not the most knowledgeable person about the Children's Health Insurance Program funding. However, what I do know is once we build the system and enhance it to enroll pharmacists, that is a one-time process. Once we have the system set to accommodate that, there would not be ongoing future enhancements needed to maintain that. That would be part of our steady state operations. So I'm unfortunately not able to confirm that Children's Health Insurance Program piece of it. However, I can confirm that there would not be additional costs.
Senator Machicki, next fiscal note.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This fiscal note you'll find says it's from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. The appropriation is corporations, business, and professional licensing. The allocation is corporations, business, and professional licensing, and the OMB component number is 2360. Total operating fiscal note for FY16 is $2,500 that's the appropriation request. From 17 through 21 is zero. The fund source, as you'll see with the $2,500 is $1,156. And change in revenues is expecting to be $2,500. The estimated supplemental to FY15 cost is zero. The estimated capital cost is zero. If this bill passes, the division will require $2,500 to cover legal costs to amend regulations, printing, and postage. Professional licensing programs within the division are funded by receipt-supported services, fund source 1156, as I discussed earlier. Licensing fees for each program are set so the revenue approximately collected equals the occupation's actual regulatory costs. We expect there to be zero impact.
Thank you. Are there any additional questions on the fiscal notes? Any additional questions on the bill? Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 7129-LS0591-W from committee with the attached fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there any objection to moving the bill from committee? Seeing and hearing none, brief at ease. We're back on the record. The next bill before the committee is House Bill Number 4, an act authorizing the Alaska Railroad Corporation to issue revenue bonds to finance a positive train control rail transportation safety project that qualifies for federal financial participation and providing for an effective date. Representative Steve Thompson and Jane Pearson, if you could come to the microphones, identify yourself for the record and introduce your bill.
Good morning. I'm Steve Thompson, representative from District 2, which is the east side of Fairbanks. Chair McKinnon and committee, I thank you very much for hearing House Bill 140 today. House Bill 140 deals with the positive train control that was required by the Rail Safety Improvement Act back in 2008. Positive train control is a mechanism that will ensure that trains don't collide, that they speed is monitored so they don't have derailments, so that it's monitored so that they go through construction areas, that we don't have accidents. Because of the transportation the railroad has as passenger service, the Alaska Railroad Corporation is required to put in positive train control. The total cost of this positive train control was back when they started to put it together, it was $158 million. The Alaska Railroad has invested $68.9 million to develop positive train control, and in 2013 and 2014, the railroad received state grants of $19.1 and $15 million, respectively, from the state of Alaska to continue work on the positive train control. Today, they are asking for permission for to purchase $37 million worth of bonds. The railroad also is proposing to refinance $66 million in existing bonds. So this will bring them up a little bit short. They actually need a total of $55 million in positive train control. This will leave them about $18 million short. Through our work with the railroad here in this session, we know that they hear us very clearly that $18 million that they will need in the next 2 years to implement this program is not going to be available from the state, that they're going to have to come up with other funds to finish that project. AS 4240-285 requires that the railroad receive legislative approval to issue bonds, but in no event will the general funds or credit of the state of Alaska or the Railroad Corporation be pledged for the repayment of these bonds. AS 4240-500 requires that all liabilities incurred by the railroad shall be satisfied exclusively from the assets or revenues of the Alaska Railroad Corporation and not the state. The $55 million is what their total need is, but without that, the railroad will lose ability to carry passengers. They bring in approximately $25 million in passenger service each year, and the Federal Transportation Administration's grant, because they have passenger service, they receive an additional $29 million. So without passenger service, they have a potential of losing $54 million in revenue each year. If they don't put in positive train control, they will be subject to up to a $100,000 per day fine. Again, the Federal Transit Authority's grant money is what will be pledged to pay these bonds. The bonding people understand that, and it's in the bonds where that if the Federal Transit money does not come in, the bondholders know that they can't come back on the railroad or the state. So the probably the interest rate would be reflected to address that. But House Bill 140 allows the railroad to continue along the road towards getting this implemented by 2018. And I encourage your support for House Bill 140. And we have also with us Bill O'Leary today, president of the Alaska Railroad Corporation.
Are there questions from committee members to the sponsor, Senator Michicki?
I just have a comment, Madam Chair. Representative Thompson, I appreciate you bringing this forward. I'm not a fan of positive train control, and this world of risk versus reward and limited resources, positive train control on this rail line simply doesn't make sense, but I realize we don't have a choice, and I support your bill. Thanks for the effort.
Senator Dunleavy.
Just a comment, too. I want to thank the railroad for understanding, grasping the reality of our fiscal situation, and then coming up with some ways to take care of this issue through some alternative ways of financing it. So thanks.
If there's no other comments, thank you, Co-Chairman Thompson. We will open the public testimony. Is there anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on House Bill 140, an act authorizing the Alaska Railroad Corporation to issue revenue bonds? Is there anyone online? Anyone wishing to testify on House Bill number 140? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you. I do have a question for Mrs. Lear. Mr. Lear, on the railroad, how much land do they have that is undeveloped and unutilized at this time?
One moment, Senator Hoffman. If I could invite Bill O'Leary, the CEO of the Alaska Railroad, to come to the microphone, identify himself for the record, and then did you hear the question, Mr. O'Leary, and are you able to respond?
A lot to remember at once. Good morning. My name is Bill O'Leary. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Railroad, and if I did understand the question, it was how much land does the railroad have that is currently undeveloped?
Undeveloped and unutilized.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I don't think I have the exact number of that. I can tell you just big picture, we have roughly 36,000 acres of land owned by the corporation. Roughly 18,000 acres of that land is used directly in rail operations. So it's right-of-way or it's yards. Then so we have 18,000 other acres that are available for other use. The last numbers I remember seeing on that are we have roughly 2,500, 2,700 acres of that 18,000 acres are under lease currently, lease or permit activities, and that could be with any one of a number of private sector or governmental entities.
And what are, Madam Chair, if I might continue, what are the future plans for that additional 15,000 acres? Does the board or the corporation have plans for utilization of those lands in the immediate future?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we would love to utilize those that acreage, that unused acreage or underutilized acreage. And in some cases, our plans are further developed than in others, certainly in the more urban areas, Fairbanks, Anchorage, Seward. We have master plans that we're hoping to continue to move forward with. We certainly have large holdings off the road system up in the hurricane area and things like that that at this particular point we don't have direct plans for.
And I guess my question is, are they in locations where private enterprise may be interested in putting those lands into productive use to create jobs and incur investment, or is that any concern of the corporation?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, it's of great concern to the corporation. Real estate really is a key piece of the Alaska Railroad's financial puzzle, and we encourage and we try to assist different entities in utilizing railroad land under leases or permits. It's good for the railroad, it's good for the state, it's hopefully good for the entity that is leasing it or permitting it.
What about if a corporation wants to do a business venture but does not want to lease and wants to purchase? What's the corporation's position on selling any of these 15,000 acres?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, historically the corporation has not necessarily been in favor of selling its land in that, as I mentioned, it's a key piece of the railroad's financial puzzle, and an ongoing revenue stream that we do receive from our real estate is, you know, a critical piece of keeping the railroad in decent financial straits. That said, it would be a board decision should an entity bring forth a request to sell or to purchase the land.
Even when they are threatened with a complete closure of the railroad operations, as they are with this federal requirement, selling land, even facing complete closure of the Alaska Railroad, when they are faced with this federal requirement.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman. It's, for this specific project, again, I don't believe that we're in favor of selling land for it, and for a number of different reasons. Part of it is the financial reason for the railroad, the continuing need for that revenue stream. Second, the ability to sell land at a level that would be able to fund this project in the time frame we need these funds isn't practical either.
So I guess the question that I have is that they would rather close down operations and not meet the federal requirements than sell the land to keep the railroad operating.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, if that's what I said, then I'm incorrect. That is not what I meant.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. O'Leary. The reason I'm supporting this bill, which I understand is refinancing $66 million in existing bonds and adding $37 million in bonds to pay for the PTC costs, and it's a portion of the formula funds are through the Federal Transit Administration. Could you just explain the reason I'm in support is that the state will not be on the hook for as a backstop for the bond liability. Can you please explain that, and for the record, for those that may be interested in why we're supporting a bond under the state program?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, yes, I'd be delighted to do that. By statute, debts of the Alaska Railroad are just that, of the Alaska Railroad. There is no, they are not liabilities of the state of Alaska. Specific to these bonds, there will be no recourse to the state. It'll be very explicitly laid out in all of the bond documents, but there will also be no recourse to the Alaska Railroad, to the general credit of the Alaska Railroad. The only security for these bonds, as proposed, is the revenue stream that comes from the Federal Transit Administration formula monies to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Did you have a closing comment, Mr. O'Leary?
Senator, no, that's fine.
With that, we're setting HB 140 aside. Thank you for that introduction. If I could direct the members' attention to the CS for Senate Bill number 70, Resources. It's an act relating to the exceptions from designations as a special purpose site under Article 8, Section 7 of the State of Alaska's Constitution for a portion of Denali State Park, Captain Cook State Recreation Area, Nancy Lake State Recreation Area, and Willow Creek State Recreation Area to allow leasings of right-of-way for a natural gas pipeline. If I could invite Ben Ellis, the Director of Parks for DNR, as well as Don Puren, Pipeline Coordinator at DNR, to the table. Mr. Ellis, it looks like we're choosing a different person to come forward. So, John, if you'd identify yourselves for the record, and then please proceed with an introduction of the bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Ben Ellis, Director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. We have Don Puren on the line. And joining me at the table, as you recognize, John Hutchins with the Department of Law. I'd like to walk you through SB 70 on the briefing paper, and then on questions we will provide answers within the areas of our expertise. Senate Bill 70 is necessary to open a corridor through four state legislative designated areas. As the Chair said, Denali State Park, Willow Creek, Nancy Lake, and Captain Cook State Recreational Areas. To open it to a right-of-way leasing act for the purpose of construction of a natural gas pipeline from the North Slope of Alaska. The bill is directed to do five things. It would authorize the issuance of a right-of-way lease under AS 3835, the Pipeline Right-of-Way Leasing Act, for a natural gas pipeline in the identified corridor through the parks that I have mentioned. Requires the corridor to be managed as parkland and recreational areas until a right-of-way lease is issued under 3835 and then returned to the original park and recreational area management upon the termination of the lease. Number three would provide supplemental requirements to reserve traditional means of public access and minimize the impact of a pipeline on the specific values of park and recreational areas. It also clarifies that the commissioner of DNR has the power to delegate condemnation authority to the leasee, and it does not apply within the boundaries of the park and recreational area. And it requires the gas pipeline lease to be issued before January 1st, 2020, and commercial operations to begin within 5 years of issuance. The question is, why is this bill needed? When land is pulled out of general state land and created by this legislature through legislative designated areas as to parks and recreation, it has been pulled out of general use and put into a special use. So the statute that deals with parkland is Title 41, where Title 38 deals with general state land. Under Title 41, the director nor the commissioner has the ability to lease land within that area. It would be looked at as a disposal. So this bill is needed to allow that a corridor be developed where the Leasing Act, the 3835 Pipeline Right-of-Way Leasing Act, could or can be applied at the applicable time. There's been a question about why does the bill not include the state game refuges and DNR's Susitna Basin Rec Rivers areas. And although some restrictions on local use are imposed on state game refuges and rivers, these areas are not closed to leasing under 3835, where a lease would be compatible with purposes of the reserve. Question was, the next is, does the corridor specify in the bill suffice for both the ASAP and the AKLNG projects? And AGDC and AKLNG have worked cooperatively to select a common alignment for both projects. I might mention that in this particular bill, it only applies to Denali State Park, is where the two pipelines would possibly be. Following that, Nancy Lake and Willow deal with the ASAP line, and Captain Cook would deal with the AKLNG line as it would come onto the Kenai Peninsula. And I'm going to clarify my last point here as an oversight in the Senate Resources Committee. There was an amendment that was a concern about, is the corridor wide enough at this point? And there was an amendment that was presented and passed, and it is in the version that you have, to add some acres that would both be in Denali State Park and Captain Cook State Recreational Area to make sure that the corridor was within the at least the design corridor route as we see it today. We anticipate as this moves forward, these corridors would reduce or would shrink. And Madam Chair, that I just maybe like to stop and then take questions.
Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Mr. Ellis. And if you can clarify, I may have missed this because I was taking a note here, but are all of these parcels wholly within the named parks, or are there portions outside of parkland?
Through the Chair, Senator Dunleavy, All of the parcels that are in this bill are within one of the four parks that was mentioned. There, part of the corridor at times would go outside, but that is, those areas are not included in this particular bill.
Thank you. I do have several other questions, but I'm sure I'll wait to see the
question.
Certainly. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Ellis, just as we had the discussion in the in resources, could you just clarify that other than during the moment of construction that the public uses previously permitted in the park corridors will not be interrupted in the future, hunting, snow machining, same access, same utilization?
Through the Chair, Senator Machicki, you're correct. The land will remain parkland and available under park statutes during the corridor phase, and even once the pipeline, the 53-foot, I believe it is, ROW that the pipeline would require, once even during then, it is still open to recreational use, snow machine, hiking, ATV use, and that it would during construction, as you said, as we do in many areas, where there could be a temporary closure for safety issues. Once the pipeline is in the ground, we would anticipate that within the lease stipulation, there would be the ability to continue to enforce AS-41 statutes or park statutes on that area. So for all practical purposes, there will be no change in that land status as far as recreational use, except during a very small time in small areas. It wouldn't be the entire corridor or entire row, but as development happened in that area, there would be a small closure for a period of time.
Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Just to clarify for the public, in some cases, right away, like in Captain Cook State Park, this is adjacent to an existing pipeline right away. It actually improves access because the right away is maintained for the life of the pipeline. So just wanted to make sure folks understood that. We had that question in the last committee.
Senator John Levy.
Just a brief at ease, very brief.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one question. Is it advisable to require that any of the right-of-way leases have definable and enforceable obligations for restoration and revegetation? In other words, through the construction process, what's the plan to return it to its closest possible to its natural state?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, I can give you the non-lawyer view, and it is to fully return it to the state that it was in prior to disturbing of land, but maybe John could add to that.
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, any pipeline right-of-way lease issued under AS-3835, and this would be an AS-3835 lease, is required to include a set of covenants that can be found in AS-3835-120, and one of those covenants is that the lessee will agree to restore the land to a condition acceptable to the commissioner, and that requirement is written into every lease that is issued under AS-3835, and the lease is not valid actually without that agreement written in. So the lease itself will provide that the land has to be restored to a condition acceptable to the commissioner. It is in the commissioner's discretion as to whether the land is returned to a satisfactory condition. So he has pretty much full authority to decide when the land is ready to be returned to the park. In
Mr.
addition,
Hutchinson, could you either talk a little bit slower or pull the microphone a little closer? We're having trouble hearing you.
I'm sorry. In addition, every lease that's issued under AS-3835 gives the commissioner authority to require financial guarantees or financial assurances from the lessee. So money is actually set aside to ensure that the land is actually returned to a state acceptable to the commissioner, regardless of the financial status of the lessee at the time the lease terminates.
Thank you.
Mr. Hutchinson, could you identify yourself for the clerk?
I'm sorry, John Hutchinson, Assistant Attorney General.
Thank you so much. Senator Machicki, and followed by Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Ellis, just curious that the Captain Cook, Denali State Park, and Nancy Lake and Willow Creek areas, does that conclude your state park right-of-way needs for the entire project from Prudhoe to the terminus in Nikiski?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, is my understanding, Don Perrin, the acting director for the state pipeline office, which is within DNR, is online. He could address that, but it's my understanding that the right-of-way in this bill does provide for the needed width.
Mr. Perrin, did you...
Yes, Senator Machicki, through the chair. This is Don Perrin, the acting state pipeline coordinator, and the SPCO and DNR and other state agencies have been working with both AKLNG and AGDC on the ASAP project in terms of field work permitting and coordination with federal agencies. And so to answer your question, I think the answer is yes. The acreage that we've set aside in this corridor, identified to be allowed to apply the 3835 Right-of-Way Leasing Act does cover the entire project.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With the lands that are going to be set aside with this legislation in state parks, what percentage of the right-of-way will this accomplish as dedicated, and what are, from your viewpoint, what are the potential problem areas for further acquisition?
Mr. Ellis, should I ask Mr. Perrin?
Yes.
Mr. Perrin, did you hear Senator Hoffman's questions, and if you could identify yourself for the record and then answer?
I did, Madam Chair. Again, this is Don Perrin with the DNR State Pipeline Coordinator's Office. I am the acting director currently. Senator Hoffman, through the chair, the corridor is approximately, it varies in width from a half mile in some places to up to 2 miles in other locations. And we made it that wide in order to provide enough wiggle room, if you will, for both engineering and any environmental reviews And so we think we have a wide enough corridor that will allow us the room to move around obstacles, including any private parcels that are within the exterior boundaries of the state parks and the right-of-ways. I don't know if that answered your question.
Well, no, it doesn't. The line from Prudhoe Bay to its destination to Tidewater, with this land that we're authorizing in state parks, if this were authorized, how much additional right-of-way will be needed that hasn't been secured, and what do you see as the any potential problem areas that have not been acquired as of yet?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, this bill will allow us to complete the land that's needed for the right-of-way on state land. It's important to note that the 3835 right-of-way leasing act only applies to state land. And by passing this bill, giving us this acreage to apply this to the Title 41 lands would give us that extra lands to complete that. In terms of how much additional lands that is to what we currently have the lease applied to, is that your question, Senator Hoffman?
Yes. What additional acres are needed or mileage are needed on a percentage basis that needs to be acquired to ensure that all of the right-of-way has been acquired?
Mr. Perrin, if I could ask you to pause. Senator Hoffman, we do have Frank Richards and Miles Baker from AGDC that might be able to answer your question. Mr. Richards, identify yourself for the record, and then if you've heard the question, please respond, or if not, I'll have Senator Hoffman ask it again.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Frank Richards, Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation. I believe the Senator was asking for percentages on land ownership along the routes that we have on both the ASAP and AKLNG project. Is that correct?
Yes. How much have we acquired, and how much do we need to acquire, and what may be the problem areas of further acquisition?
All right. Through the Chair, Senator Hoffman, for the ASAP project, I'll give the answers first. Specifically, the legislature directed DNR to provide the AGDC Title 38 lands through a state right-of-way, and that was granted to us back in 2011, I believe. And that represents about 55% of the ASAP right-of-way. So with the addition of the lands now that this bill would provide, that would give us the access through Denali State Park and the Willow Creek and Nancy Lakes. That mileage, I'll say, is approximately another 5% of state lands. And then with the completion of the Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement for the ASAP project, one of the outcomes will be a record of decision by the Department of Interior's Bureau of Land Management, which would provide us the federal right-of-way, which represents approximately another 30%. So in total, we'll be close to 90%, and then the remaining 10%, which incorporates municipal, borough, native corporation allotments, and private land ownership, is what we would acquire once we make that decision to proceed with the project.
Senator Hoffman.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, go ahead.
Of those, do you anticipate any problem areas that may require eminent domain?
Through the Chair, Senator Hoffman, no, I don't believe that we will have significant, if any, use of eminent domain, but the legislature did provide us that authority under House Bill 4 in our existing statutes.
And then on the other project?
So for the other project, as Mr. Ellis and Mr. Perrin identified, the AKLNG and the Alaska Standalone Pipeline Project are sharing essentially a common route at this time, leading from Prudhoe Bay to the Susitna River bridge crossing. At that point, ASAP traverses to the east of the Susitna River, and the AKLNG project is heading west, essentially down the west side for Cook Inlet crossing. I don't have in front of me the actual land ownership requirements for AKLNG, but I would be glad to acquire that and provide that to the chair and the committee.
And the final question, Madam Chair, is there a time frame that you're working under to acquire the additional lands that are required for the construction of the project?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, again, for the private and municipal owned lands, with AGDC, we weren't going to be starting to acquire those lands until we actually made that decision or final investment decision to advance the project.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Thank you. Mr. Richards, do you have any comments for the committee to consider on Senate Bill 70?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 70 will allow either pipeline project to be able to proceed through these parklands. It was the original intention of the legislature to provide, at least AGDC, the right-of-way across state lands, and we weren't aware of the Title 41 restrictions, and this will clean that up and provide us the land to be able to advance this pipeline project.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. Senator Bishop, you had a question. I'm not sure it's for Mr. Richards, but you had a question earlier on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Richards, hey, Frank, what's the difference? Can you explain the difference on the right-of-way between the two projects to me? On the construction right-of-way, one's is 120 feet and the other one's 180. The big project, AKLNG project's 180 feet and the ASAP's 120. Not that I'm just curious because that's plenty of right-of-way to do either project. Just a curiosity.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bishop, I can articulate the right-of-way width for the ASAP project, but I don't have all the specifics on the 180-foot width for AKLNG. But as you know, when you are moving a large diameter piece of pipe, you need to have a good amount of traveled way, you need a sizable work pad, and you need to have areas where you can put your ditch disposal, and excavation materials. So even though the pipelines are only 6 inches difference in diameter, you likely have heavier wall pipe on AKLNG, so therefore you're going to have larger equipment, so which requires wider right-of-way. So I think it's just the combination of a larger diameter pipe and heavier equipment requiring more workspace.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator Machicki.
No questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Ellis, you said that the corridor would be returned to its natural habitat. Does that include trees, or are trees out of the way in an extended period amount of time?
Madam Chair, the land would be returned. It's my understanding that the land would be returned to a natural state, and in other areas that we've had construction that would need removal of trees, normally within about a 5 to 10 year period of time, regeneration occurs, and that over a period of time of the tree growth, it would end up being virtually undetected.
Thank you. With that, I'd like to open the public hearing. I'd like to open the public hearing on the CS for Senate Bill number 70, an act relating to exceptions from designation as a special purpose site under Article 8, Section 7 of the Constitution of the State of Alaska for portions of Denali State Park, Captain Cook State Recreation Area, Nancy Lake State Recreation Area, Willow Creek State Recreation Area to allow leasing a right-of-way for a natural gas pipeline. Is there anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Bill 70? Is there anyone online wishing to testify on Senate Bill 70? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Brief at ease. Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to work with Mr. Ellis to clarify through the record the 49 CFR Part 192 DOT regs. Just during the operation of the line, there's a trail over the line so that you can monitor for leak detection and that sort of thing. But perhaps Mr. Ellis can describe for the record what the surrounding right-of-way would look like after the pipeline is constructed.
Through the Chair, Senator Machicki, thank you for the ability for the clarification. As the corridor narrows and you get into a construction pipeline corridor, obviously that will be cleared, and the construction would take place. The 50-some-odd foot right-of-way of the pipeline itself would be kept clear. And would I really anticipate or envision maybe even a recreational trail in that area that would improve recreation and also provide access to the line. My comment was more on the peripheral part of the area during the construction time that the regrowth and regeneration would have happened.
Senator Machicki, thank you. I appreciate that clarification. I didn't think trees were allowed to grow over the top of a right-of-way either, but I was going to ask again later. Any further questions on Senate Bill 70? With that, we'll set Senate Bill 70 aside. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Seeing and hearing none, this afternoon we do have a meeting scheduled. Please hold that on your calendars right now, and we'll keep you informed as to the need of that meeting. With that, we're adjourned.